under renovation and construction. But in reality, we are the body of Christ that are under renovation and construction.
Amen.
We are.
Amen.
When you come here on Wednesday, you will see that it's back to normal and really it's going to be the same. Oh, this will be gone, but sanctuary is going to be the same. Okay? It's kind of like how we go in church. We get to church, we listen to the word, and I'm under renovation. But come Monday, what renovation? I ain't putting that to work no more. It's too hard. It's too hard to be challenged with the word that hits you that, like, well, pastor stepped on my toes. Well, you got nine more. Well, nine is the number of the fruit of the Spirit. So fruit must be good. If I stepped on one, I just made you very fruitful. But the word has a way of challenging you. The word itself makes you dig to the rock, makes you dig to the source. But you don't stop digging just because you're tired. The digging process is constant and ongoing. Constant and ongoing. I had my prayer shawl on this morning, praying and believing God for a miracle. He said, son, I didn't tell you to be a priest. He says, I want you to go out there and I want you to be the foreman. Be Bob the Builder. Now, if you're Bob the Builder, you're going to know how to do some things. You're going to know how to dig. I like the way it fits. I'm going somewhere with this, Edie. Watch this. Watch. Because every now and then the builders that are building somebody, they're building them up, have a tendency to get their head bigger. So the head begins to grow. And now they can't see anything around them because they're so used to telling people how they should be living. But they don't want to look at things themselves. Now, I said, God, I don't want to constantly be doing this stuff like this, God, because as it is, we thinning out like my hairline. Well, y'all laughing. Y'all been watching, haven't you seen? I told my mom, you got to spray paint it in there or something. You got to fill it up because it's getting too dang thin. The Lord says the reason why it's getting thin is because people aren't getting challenged. He says, and I'm not talking about just the house of manna. If people get challenged, they leave. But if the people don't challenge themselves, they don't grow. Y'all don't want to preach? Why don't you go to Psalms 127, please? Psalms 127. Psalms 127, I'm going to move to this fairly slowly. Just kidding. I'll take my time with this, and if we need to continue on next week, we'll continue on. These are the foundations of the kingdom of God. And how you build foundation, Jackie, is you deal with foundation very carefully. It's carefully. Because have you ever seen that the story on the news, and it was over there off of Kyle Seal in Sonoma area, where all these foundations were cracking. As a matter of fact, there was like sinkholes, people's homes were being destroyed. And what it was is the contractor that built the retaining wall didn't pull permit. Remember, the first part of this was you need to have permission. And if you don't get permission, it's usually because you're circumventing what needs to be done. Well, you don't want a builder that's going to come in and just give you a little bit of things that you want to hear but don't want to hear the things that you need to hear. So if you're going to a church always hearing the same thing over and over, but you're not putting it into use, don't be getting mad at God or getting mad at the church because things aren't changing in your life. You've got to do what God told you to do because he's given the permission in his word for you to do it. But if you don't want to do it, out of disobedience, you become more like a child of the enemy than a child of God. Are you there at Psalms 127? I'm going to read out of the Amplified, verse 1. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Who built it? Who builds the house?
The Lord.
The Lord. In other words, not you building. God's got to build it. Here's your permission. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil, for he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. As arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of the one's youth. Happy, blessed, and fortunate is the man whose quiver is filled with them. They will not be put to shame when they speak with their adversaries in gatherings at the city's gates. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that it begins to marinate in our spirit and in our soul, Lord, that we become more pliable to your word and take heed to what you are speaking in this very hour. So, Father, I thank you in advance. As we're building a body, Father, we're building a body with vision, purpose, and destiny. In Jesus' name, and all of God's children said amen.
Amen.
Now, you see, the Lord must build the house. Now, what I've been showing y'all in here is that we've got to dig, we've got to clean, we've got to make preparations. And there's some things that we're going to have to do ourselves. And that's usually the work that God is telling us to do on our own. So why does God allow us to work on ourselves first? Because you first need to know that you need a Savior.
Amen.
The Old Testament shows you that the Ten Commandments could not be fulfilled. Prime example. Lionel just said it himself. You see someone driving in that nice Jaguar that was just lowered, had those rims that were nice and shining. And that when they would drive, you could just hear this hum. And then if their windows were down, you could begin to hear the stereo system. You know, not the 8-track that you still have. Not the cassette player. Not the one that you got to just wear your iPhone because you don't have a stereo in there. I'm talking about the one that has, you know, like 8 speakers in there, 16 surround speakers in there, so that you can really hear the music, or you can hear the podcast from the House of Manna from that preacher that is going international. He begins to speak to you. Then you can just feel the anointing in the car as it begins to move. And then the car begins to just look different because it's no longer, it's a chariot now. And now you can see beyond what you were looking at, because now God is telling you what you want and what you desire. Sometimes I got to put it before you. But some of the things that you do, you want to covet from other people, but you don't want to go through the process of getting how you're going to get it. I just want that because I see that car and they got it. How come I can't have it? Thing is, you can have it, but you got to go through the process to get it. Maybe some doctor is driving around in a Jaguar, but they paid the price to go to school to get it. It's not going to fall in your lap. If it does, make sure you call Pastor. Don't forget to tithe. Just saying. Now listen. Here's another one that we can't keep in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet the pizza. I think it's in there. Right? Thou shalt not covet another man's pizza. Right? Because, you know, the double stuffed pizza? The crust? The cheese in it? Covet. Don't... You know when somebody else has that pizza and they just put that cheese on top of there, and then they put all those red peppers on there, and then you can see how it's just starting to melt into it, and you're like, oh. And you want it? It's coveting. I want it. My hunger, I want it. I don't want no more turkey. I want pizza. You start coveting. Now, when you start coveting, you're already like, I've messed up. Thank God for Jesus,
yes,
the master builder. He knew we weren't going to be able to keep all of those commandments. Matter of fact, it started with 10 and Jeb. We wound up with 367 commandments all of a sudden. We got all these laws that we got. No wonder you can't step to the left without asking for the right to go first, because you already broke a commandment. We can't live straight in the old commandment. We need Jesus to help us walk through this path. Sometimes we feel that our life in Christianity is like a maze. Go straight, go left, go right, go here. Stop here, praise Jesus a little bit, and then go back over here. And it's hard being a Christian. Because every now and then you walk around and you got all these kind of daggers on you. Sometimes it looks like you got so much work going on in your life. People are wondering, are you ever really going to get fixed up? Because you've been going to that church for 4 years and you still the same viper. You still the one that sometimes you need to change your hat. your hat should be like the cone. Because you're really under renovation. It starts with your mind first. You're so nasty and cruel, ain't nobody want to come around you. You're so nasty and cruel, you look at everybody like, yeah, you don't know who I is. No, but you sure do look like a fool in front of everybody. Jesus said that you will know my people by their fruit. And you'll know them because they're under renovation. But they know that they've got to be gentle. You know, because Katrina, when you're going through, people just want to just knock at you. They think they can help you through your renovation process. But it's God who builds. It's God who's building. And how does he build on us? He builds on us by showing us that I am the potter and you are my clay. The same sun that hardens the clay softens the wax. It's the same sun that comes in and sheds light on the darkest part of your life. But if you don't want to surrender to that area of your life, you're never going to be able to begin to dig past certain things in your life. You're just going to kind of just scratch the surface. You're just going to scratch the surface. I'm digging. No, you're not digging. You're just making a mess. All you're doing is making it look like you know what you're doing. Yeah, I'm going to go to church. I even tithe. But I know Sister So-and-so over there has her eye on me. So when I begin to so we go through the motions because there's a hidden agenda. Yeah, amen. Quit using the church as a place of hooking up. Because you don't know what you're going to get when you hook up. Most people I know. I'm going to stop there, Lord Jesus. I almost got myself in trouble. Hallelujah. Whoo, got to get myself saved today. Oh, yeah. Watch this. Psalms 127, verse 1, it says that the Lord keeps the city. The watchman wakes. The Lord keeps the city. The Lord. The Lord keeps the city. You are that city that cannot be hidden. You are the city that he says he calls his own. You are that city that he watches over you to make sure that everything that he spoke over your life will be performed. That he watches everything that every promises that he has said in his word, written down as an oracle, not just a mere prophecy to come forth. It's an oracle because it's been written down in the word that will stand the test of time from the beginning to the very end, that you may pass away, but the word won't. And those promises are for you right now. But the thing is, you have to understand, there's some work that needs to be done. There's some digging that needs to get done, but you got to dig down to the stone. And when you're digging, because you're just trying to erect some pillars in here, do you understand? He's just trying to get some pillars in the kingdom of God that have integrity, that have character, that have promise and have love and have respect and have honor. He's trying to raise up some pillars in the church, but we're too busy playing around and not really digging deep into the rock so he can get into that area. We got to dig past our rejections. We got to dig past our infirmities, if you would. And that infirmity is the way we think we are, the way we think that we have to be. We've got to get in and we've got to dig and dig past the jealousy. Past all of the hurt. We got to dig past all of the offenses. We got to dig past the rejection and abandonment issues in our life. Dig and dig and dig. And not stay just in the shallow area and just mess around with the dirt that anybody can throw on you, much less you throw on yourself. You've got to dig past those rejection issues because it keeps you from getting accepted everywhere else. You think that they got to pat you on the back every. Why don't you dig past all of that? Dig past all your religious rhetoric in your mind so that you can get closer to the rock. Because it doesn't come easy. You got to dig. It causes you to exert energy and put your efforts into it. Get that Bible inside of you. Get Him all around you. Get into that place of sanctity that you can say, Lord, no more of my will, but your will be done. I can't be messing around because I need to be a pillar to be erected in the kingdom of God. And in order for the pillar to be erected for a foundation, I've got to dig so God can pour in so much more. We got to dig past all this other mess. If you've been messing around with something for 15 years, it's time for you to get over it and get over yourself. You need to get changed. You got to get renewed, and you've got to get healed and delivered. Well, Pastor, I've been a Christian 25 years. Well, why don't you be a saved one then? Why don't you be a delivered one? Why don't you be a whole one instead of a quarter of a one or an eighth of a one?
Amen.
I've been saved. How do you know you've been saved? Because the fruit that I see shows you to be more like the Satan that's out there. See, I tell you, nobody wants to hear truth. Because in church... Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he plays this song so much. God, we got to get him some more music or something. Got all this equipment, ain't nobody singing. Well, thank you. And we go through church and we get caught up in this rhetoric. And then we just think, this routine has to change. So I'm going to go to another church. Go. Take all your mess with you. Take it. Because I don't want your mess here because you didn't want to give up your mess to begin with.
Yeah.
Time to do an altar call. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Been battling the same issue for 15, 20 years. You've got to put the word to use. But it requires you to put something in your hand. It's to take that issue that has been bothering you. No, don't do that. Don't look at your spouse. Stop it. You take that issue. Oh, Jesus, and I only have one vehicle. I'm going to ride home with my wife. Now, take that issue. I better be nice. Now, take that issue. I'm going to put my hands around its neck. And I'm going to suffer it. And I'm going to kill it. I'm going to destroy it. And I will no longer be with one vehicle.
Amen.
I will no longer be in lack. I will no longer go through my issues in life and never deal with the issue at hand. I will always look to the hill from which my help comes from. I don't do this on my own. I do it by His power, His might, and His strength that worketh inside of me. And I thank God that I'm a worker for the kingdom that can build the body that knows you got to do this together with God. You can't do it by yourself. You've been trying to do it by yourself for 15 years. Now it's time to put Him in the middle. A three-stranded cord cannot be what? Three-stranded cord. Can you count the strings right here, please? I'm sorry, right here. Right here. Count those strings.
One, two, three, four.
There's four? Mm-hmm. What's on this side?
One, two, three, four.
So is there four or is there eight? It's not a trick question. It's not a trick question. There's four. Are they all the same color?
No.
So what color are the other three?
Three are white, one is blue.
Okay. Now here's what I want to share with you. Symbolism throughout the scriptures will always point to Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The blue is His grace. It's four going into the hole, like the narrow gate. And it's four coming on the other side. Put them together, you have eight, your new beginning.
Amen.
In order for you to have a new beginning in the issue of your life so that you can get past the hurt, get past the pain, get past the rejection, get past all of the issues that you've been fighting through, you need a new beginning.
Amen.
And sometimes it's hard to get to that new beginning. You fight. Thank you. I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. I'm going to tell you what I hear. I'll tell you what I hear. Oh, Jesus, someone's going to get mad at me. Here's what I hear. Here's what I hear. Stuff breaking because somebody's mad. Stuff is breaking because they don't want to surrender. Stuff is breaking all around them, but they're willing to live in that mess as opposed to getting out of that mess and accepting something new. I don't know about you, but when I would have my fits of rage, yeah, my fist would go through a wall, my fist would go through a door, my fist would break glass. Here's the thing about anger. It's costly. It's costly. Here's the logic in it. I'm going to break that wall and I'm going to break that door. Dang, I got to pay for that thing again. Then not only that, I got to clean it up. After a while, you start to realize your anger is not getting you anywhere. So you've got people in your life that are breaking stuff around you, or maybe you're the one breaking stuff around you. Quit it. Surrender. Just surrender. All you've got to do is say, Lord, I need you. Because I can't do this by myself. I need to be wrapped around that cord of grace. I need to be wrapped around that peace, love, the grace that you have, that mercy that you have. And I need to have my new beginning someday. And I hope that someday is now. Not later in my future, but now. And all he says that you have to do to get new beginning is to say yes. Really? That's it? Yeah. Yes, Lord, take this issue away. This issue. Help me to get over this issue. Help me to walk out my deliverance. Help me so that I'm not going through this no more. Help me to learn how to manage my money so I'm not always broke at the end of the month. Help me, God, because I don't want to live in a neighborhood that is challenged, what? Financially challenged. Yeah. So that when I see that vehicle that I want driving down the road, I know that I can have it too. But I've got to work at some things. And if it begins with me, work on me, God. Work on me. Don't be looking at everybody else that needs work, because we all need work. We all need work in certain areas of our life. So don't be pointing your finger that way or your... Don't be addressing your prayers. Oh, you've got to help Sister Baya because Baya just this and Baya just that. No, stop all of that and start praying for yourself. Help Sister so-and-so. It starts with me. So I can see that Sister so-and-so in a different light.
Yes.
Amen. All we're doing is breaking everybody down. Oh, Jesus, help me. God must be the builder in your life. He is the potter and you are the clay. Isaiah 64:8 is where that comes from. Isaiah 64:8. He is the potter and you are the clay. Have you ever looked at clay pots? I remember my son made me I think it was an ashtray. Maybe it was a mushroom. No, maybe it was a blob. But you see, to me, I didn't see his vision, but to him, his vision came to pass. Do you understand? In his eyes, it's exactly how he made it. In my eyes, for me to discern, okay, what is it? What is it? Josh, what is this? And then you see it, like, oh, okay. Now I can see what you made for me is what, yeah, I can see it now. Why? Because now what he put his hands to do, his vision was working as his hands were doing, and then it came out. But the only way it came out is it had to go through the fire. And as you're, if you've ever dealt with pottery, when there's cracks, you got to wet it, smooth it over, put a little bit more on it and smooth it over. You don't want to have a foundation that has cracks all over it. And you definitely don't want to just smooth it over. You got to fill it. What do you fill every crack in your foundation with? His presence and His word. You fill it with His promise that deals with that curse. And that issue that does not want to go away, fill it with His presence. Fill it. You have got to be a pillar in this kingdom of God, and you've got to get away from things that... You've got to get away from things. He is the watchman over your life. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Can someone go there, please? 2 Chronicles 16:9. Let me see if I can get to it fast. Second Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of Jehovah run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Oh, isn't that good? Oh, let me read it again. For the eyes of Jehovah run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Do you read that? What is the next sentence after that? Oh, what? How are you going to speak a blessing to me and then call me foolish? Right? This is what it says. That's so good. And herein thou hast done foolishly, for from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Why? Because you weren't loving Him and you weren't perfect towards Him. You held Him at a distance and not close to you. But the reality, He's just going to and fro looking for anybody He can bless. That's what He wants to do. He wants to bless you. He wants to keep you blessed. Can we let Him bless us? Uh-oh, y'all are still sleeping, I guess. Huh? Maybe we should have broke, all right? Psalm 121. Someone go to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. You ready? Psalm 121. The book of Psalm. Promise to have you out here in just a few minutes. I will lift up my eyes unto the mountains, from whence shall my help come. Here, let me read this out of the Amplified real quick for you. Watch this. Out of the Amplified. I will lift up my eyes to the hills around Jerusalem, to the sacred mountain Zion and Mount Moriah, from whence shall my help come. My help comes from the Lord, who have made heaven and earth. Who made it? God made heaven and earth. I don't know about you, but I haven't been to all the places in this world. But some of the places I've been are beautiful. Beautiful. And not made by man either. Amen. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen was a sunset coming into Cozumel, Mexico. Oh. The greatest sunrise I saw was in Cozumel. I was like, Lord, guess why? Because I was up. Amen. In other words, when I was asleep, I missed it. That could not have been made of man, only by God. So He made the heavens and the earth, and He made it yours. He made it yours. Now, when I was on this cruise, I knew He made it for me. You know how I know this? Coffee 24 hours a day. Buffet. 24 hours a day. Now, what I just said, made of man. Watch this. When I went snorkeling in Grand Cayman, the fish that I saw, not made by man. And each fish beheld a beauty that came to me and scared me, literally. You remember the big one? They came right by us like this, and then you swallow water. Beautiful, because I beheld the beauty of God in His creation. Amen. Wasn't touched by man in its natural habitat. Beautiful. Came up to see this strange looking man in the water that should never have been in the water. Because it was a big fish by you. And I get spooky. Man, this thing swam up to me like this, like at me. I thought I'd be like Tarzan, take out a spear, and No, I was the opposite. All this kind of salt water going through. It was so big that when I looked at it, and I wasn't even like swimming. I was just like this. Right? No, there was a little floating table out there. Remember that bubble? We were out there for like 6 hours. They had to kick us off of it. But it's a little floating table that's probably about maybe 12, 15 feet deep. But you're floating on it. All you had to do is put your face in the water, just little goggles, open it, and you would see the fish. So that's all I was doing. I wasn't really swimming. I was just, here comes this fish out of the right side of my, and I see this thing, and I look, thinking I'm drowning, but I'm sitting down at the table. Have you ever been scared like that? You forget that you have a sense of security that's not going nowhere. But something hits you and you get so scared you think you're going to die in it. All I had to do is pick my head up out of the water and go. But I didn't do it because I was scared. Kind of like the issues that we have in our life right now. We get so scared of dealing with them that you feel you're going to drown in them. Pick up your head, look into the hills where your help does come from. Not only did he say from where, he named them. He named the mountains. We've got to go up, guys. When you see a mountain, you're seeing the beauty of it, but you're not seeing them beneath it. Because the foundation of the mountain's already been set. It's been set by God. Not touched by man, but set by God. Your foundation to be a pillar in the kingdom of God has to be by God. There's some work that we must do. And we need to just do it. If you don't do it, you'll continually go on in your cycle of life and never get past it, and you'll stay in your mess. Now, you're probably not going to like this, but this is still true. My job is to preach truth to you, right?
Yeah.
Go to Genesis 49, please. Genesis 49, verse 1 through 7. Promise to have you out of here in just a little bit. Not too much longer. Now this is the blessing of Jacob to his children. I want you to read and see what it's talking about as he blesses his children. Just turn that off, David, the overhead off and the computer. Genesis 49, verse 1, and Jacob called for his sons and said, gather yourselves together around me that I may tell you what shall befall you in the latter days. Gather yourselves together and hear your sons, O Jacob, and hearken to Israel your father. Here's the first son that's about to get blessed. Verse 3, you with me? Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the beginning, the first fruits of my manly strength and vigor. Your birthright gave you the preeminence in dignity and the preeminence in power. But unstable and boiling over like water, you shall not excel and have the preeminence of the firstborn. Because you went to your father's bed, you defiled it. He went to my couch. Are you reading that? Was that a blessing or a curse? Why? That's his son. Firstborn son has the right, the birthright to the father. But what happened was his disobedience, he got cursed. Got cursed. Do you want to be cursed? Then be obedient, right? Well, don't be obedient to man. Oh, subject yourself to the authorities that God has placed over your life, for such is the life to be extended for you to be blessed. So many people want to run around and do their own thing. We'll keep running. Verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brothers, equally headstrong, deceitful, vindictive, and cruel. Wait a minute. Daddy, you're supposed to be blessing me. You're saying all this about me? Because Daddy knew about them. Their swords are weapons of violence. Oh, my soul, come not into their secret council, unto their assembly. Let not my honor be united, for I knew nothing of their plot, because in their anger they slew men and honored man, Shechem and the Shechemites, and in their self-will they disabled oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I would divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. I want you to see that. What kept them out of their promise? Anger. What kept the Moses out of getting into the promised land? Anger. So is anger an issue? Yeah, anger keeps you bound to the thing that you don't want to let go. And so when you see a fit of rage or anger come up out of you, I can talk about this because I got delivered from it. Oh, yeah, yeah, I was the viper, I was the snake, and the bear, and the crocodile, on the same one. Mean, to the point that I didn't talk to my mom for months. Remember that, Mom? Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I give you to God. You don't want to listen, you want to do your thing, I give you to God. Hardest part of my life. But the loving arms of my mom was waiting for me as soon as I got back in line.
Amen.
See that? Anger will keep you out of your promises. Keep you out of your promises. Well, Pastor, I don't have an anger issue. Cross. Just repent now. Just repent now. Just save yourself. Because what will happen is God will start picking away at it. Watch this wonderful movie with, what's her name? The movie Blindside? Sandra Bullock and that big old dude. Huh? He says, oh, he's like an onion. You got to take it layer by layer. She goes, not if you use a knife. Remember that? I like that. Quit peeling back layer at a time when you choose to pull it back. Why don't you just cut through the mess and work the issue out, accept the fact that there's an issue in your life that you've got to work it out with God. So he's not just picking away at it. Or like we do, we pick away at it. It hurts me to. Sana, sana, gurita. Because we don't want to deal with it. We don't. Because usually what we do, we just put a Band-Aid over it and just leave it there. Nobody will see it. Nowadays, they got all the colored Band-Aids that will match your skin color. So nobody sees you have an issue. And that's how we are in the church. We walk around church like, I ain't got no issues. Haven't you seen that? Huh? I ain't got no issues. Not me. Mm-hmm. I got set free. I got delivered. Because I got delivered, I don't struggle with that no more. No, you do struggle with it. You do. God's trying to get us to a place, guys, that we can be erected as pillars to a firm, rooted foundation in the kingdom of God. And he needs people. He needs the workers. He needs you.
Yeah.
He needs you. The harvest is plentiful. He's talking about souls. Not talking about the Benjamins. You're not talking about all the dollars. He's talking about the souls that are out there that need Jesus.
Amen.
But he also talks in the scriptures that he you're worthy of your hire. Oh, you're worthy of your hire, Jane. Don't settle. Thank you, Jesus. You'll see your bonus. And in your bonus, it's going to come to you and you're going to say, what is this? Don't fret about it, because what's going to take place in the first quarter of next year will be an increase three times over.
Amen.
Three times over.
Amen.